I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. There's a prayer in one of our Sunday school curriculums that I recently came across called the hand prayer. And in this particular prayer, the young people are invited to do different hand gestures as they follow along with a meditation. And one of the motions is to push whatever your hands are holding to God, and then the meditation reads, whatever was worrying you or scaring you or tying you up in knots, whatever you were carrying with you, whatever you were afraid to let other people see, push it toward God and let God catch it. Let God take whatever it was from you. I really like that prayer, and I bring it up for a couple of reasons. First, it reminds me of the young people in our church, and it also points to the good work of our Sunday school teachers, who we're going to honor here in just a little bit. Those volunteers who generously lend their time and their skills, and who help create a safe space for the young people in our church to know that they are loved by God simply for being themselves. And second, this little hand meditation reminds me of God's willingness to lighten our burdens, to take whatever it is that's weighing us down so that we might live into who God has created us to be. Our gospel lesson this morning is part of a string of healing miracles which are meant to depict the compassion and mercy towards others that Jesus outlines in his Sermon on the Mount, which occurs just a chapter or so before our lesson this morning. As in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this story is chock full of examples where protocols are turned upside down, barriers are broken as Jesus goes out of his way to make sure that people are healed and forgiven. It has examples of how Jesus draws in those on the margins and reorders communal relationships. Jesus calls Matthew a tax collector, considered by many during Jesus' time to be a profession for scoundrels to follow him. He sits at table with sinners and tax collectors, people that the religious authorities considered undeserving. He touches the body of a dead girl, someone considered to be unclean according to Jewish law at the time, and he brings her back to life. And it's also interesting to point out that it's not only Jesus who crosses boundaries and breaks barriers. It's the leader of a synagogue who sets aside his own self-righteousness, defies what one would expect of someone of his stature, and seeks the help of Jesus, an unorthodox rabbi. A woman who's on the fringes of society, suffering from hemorrhages, again, someone considered to be unclean according to Jewish law at the time, takes a risk, and she reaches out and touches the fringe of Jesus' cloak. And in doing so, she is made well, saved from dying a social and physical death. And amidst all this action going on in this lesson, I think there are two important reminders for us to pay attention to. The first is that no one, absolutely no one, is beyond God's mercy. No matter who you are or where you are coming from, this gospel story reminds us that Jesus is eager to provide compassion and healing. And we see this in how Jesus heals both the daughter of the leader of a synagogue, someone at the very, very top of the social ladder, but he also heals a woman suffering from hemorrhages, someone who's not even on the social ladder at all. both receive Jesus' attention and mercy. Those of us questioning our own ailments, our own brokenness, our own worthiness, can rest assured that you are worthy of love and forgiveness, and that God will go to unimaginable lengths to let you know it. And the second important reminder in this lesson, and I know I've mentioned this in a sermon or two before, but I think it's worth mentioning here again, is that as followers of Jesus, we are called to those places where Jesus' presence is found. And the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, likes to explain that Jesus is often found in the neighborhood of human confusion and suffering, those places where humanity is most disordered. He explains that as baptized Christians, we are drawn into the depths of human need, including our own need and brokenness, those places where God's Spirit is recreating and refreshing human life as God meant it to be. In the story we hear this morning, Jesus shows us what this is all about. He specifically seeks out and is in relationship with those who are in need and experiencing chaos. Brian Stevenson, the author of the book Just Mercy, uses the phrase getting proximate, when he describes his work as a lawyer working with folks in prison and on death row. And he explains that through his own experience of getting proximate, that is, working up close and personal with the inmates on death row, he was changed. By getting proximate, he no longer saw the prisoners as merely just criminals, but people. People who had their own stories, people who had lived whole lives before the crimes they committed. Jesus demonstrates and draws us into this kind of proximity with others. When we are in the presence of and in relationship with those who are different from us, those who find themselves in the depths of human need, we are changed. Our judgment begins to fade away. We begin to recognize how God is working in the life of the other, and we can more fully ponder how God is working in ours, calling us deeper into the love that is the core of who we are. So, whatever is worrying you or scaring you or tying you up in knots, whatever you are carrying with you, whatever you are afraid to let other people see, push it toward God and let God catch it. God is eager for you to live into the wonderful person God created you to be, enabling you and encouraging you to get proximate to those people and places where God is recreating and refreshing life as God meant it to be. Amen.